It is good to see everyone today at the Wayne County Bible Center and everyone that's listening in on the website, having y'all with us on this June 23rd, 2024. And the title of today's message, based on Romans chapter 8, verse 1, is to be in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the fourth phrase I'm kind of introducing you to, and not so much introducing you to. You have been familiar with these phrases for many, many years if you have studied the Word of God. So I'm going to review the first three that we studied the last couple of weeks, and then we'll get into this. But Romans 8:1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation. Now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin that I confess unto you. I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your Spirit, with a spirit of humility to wash the feet of those that listen as a servant. Father, we lift you up, Jesus. You are all in all. We are complete in you. You are wonderful beyond words. You are our Lord and Savior. You have called our friends. You have received us with the spirit of adoption. You are our Heavenly Father. And so, sweet Lord Jesus, it is all about you. About our personal relationship with you. About knowing you. And knowing we know you. So, sweet Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, take over. Let everybody in this place know, everyone that's listening, you love us, Lord. You love them, and you have a purpose and plan for our life. You desire to bless us, increase us in peace and contentment and joy. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the God we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the last 3 weeks, I have introduced you to three interchangeable phrases. All right, I've shared with you Christ in me. Paul says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. And then in Romans 8:9, Paul says, if the Holy Spirit be in you, you are one of his. If the Holy Spirit's not in you, you don't belong to him. So the phrase is the Holy Spirit in you, indwelling you. And then last week in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. The phrase, Christ lives in me. Another life living in me, Christ alive in me, united in oneness with my spirit. What an amazing concept. And so now today we look at another phrase. It's not Christ in me. It's not the Holy Spirit in me. It's not Christ living in me. But the coin gets flipped in Romans 8:1. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, this phrase is related to those first three, but it is not the same. To be in Christ Jesus is not the same as having Christ Jesus in you. They're related. They could be two sides of a coin, but I want to grab that phrase. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you see it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we see that phrase again. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, it says this. For in Christ Jesus, okay, here's that phrase again. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Same thing he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, Paul repeats it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, any outward religious act, avails anything, or not having an outward religious act, but a new creature if you are in Christ Jesus. And back up to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, there's the phrase again, neither circumcision produces anything, nor uncircumcision produces anything, but faith puts you in Christ Jesus. Faith puts you in Christ Jesus, which works by love. So, what does it mean to be a person in Christ Jesus in contrast to Christ being in you? Well, let me review you with just three verses. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Go there quickly. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says this. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate or lost. Now, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith, how that Jesus Christ, examine yourself whether or not Jesus Christ is in you. So I'm going to tell you that right now. Examine yourself whether or not Jesus Christ is in you. Whether you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, we call this an experiential concept. What does that mean, really? That's a big word, not really, but it's used by theologians a lot. An experiential concept means it's something you're experiencing right now. Something you're experiencing right now. You experience the truth, the fact, the reality that Jesus Christ is in you and you're conscious of it. Because you know how it was when he wasn't in you. So you know now he is in you. You must be born again. Alright? Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, when God sees what the Hebrew writer calls saving faith in your heart, a saving faith commitment in your heart where you're giving your life over to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for pardon based on what he did on the cross alone. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, when God sees that commitment of faith in your heart, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So, when He sees saving faith in your heart, an experience is the Holy Spirit is sent from heaven into your heart here on earth, and you know it. A lot of people describe it as just being filled with peace and having the burden of sin lifted off. But you feel this inward peace that passes understanding. So that is a real experience here on earth, and you're conscious of it. It's experiential. The reality of our personal indwelling Holy Spirit relationship with Jesus Christ that we experience now in this life here on earth. I'm not talking to you right now about doctrine, though it is doctrine. I'm not talking to you about religious theory, though it is religious theory. I'm not talking to you about a Bible verse on a page, though there are Bible verses on the page. I'm talking to you about a reality, personal experience between you and God, supernatural. And Cameron, you've either had it or you haven't. And if you haven't, you need it. Church membership can't replace it. So what we are talking about here is experiential Christ being in me. Now go back to Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the scripture says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is now no condemnation to those or for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're looking at the phrase, what does it mean to be a person in Christ Jesus? I'm going to cut to the chase, and then I'm going to build on it. The principle is this, and this is the basic principle. While Christ in us speaks experientially about your living daily relationship with Jesus Christ on earth, us in Christ speaks positionally. Now just stay with me. Christ in us speaks positionally. What do you mean positionally, Brother Leo? Christ in us speaks positionally about our eternal state or our eternal condition before God in heaven. When I look up to heaven, I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that Christ, that you are in me. When God looks down from heaven and looks at me, he says, you are in me. I am covering you. It is a position or a condition before God. This speaks of our eternal condition, our eternal position before the God of heaven. Let me even simplify it more. The reality of my personal position before the God of heaven right now, in God's eyes, God's perspective, his eternal perspective concerning me, is that I am in Christ Jesus. That's how God sees me. And when he looks upon the earth, he sees the folks that are in Christ Jesus and the folks that are not yet in Christ Jesus. One condition or the other condition. Not 300 different religious labels. Are you in Christ Jesus or are you not in Christ Jesus? Now, look at what it says, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus. Now no condemnation? Whereas before I was in a state of condemnation. What was your condition, Brother Leo, before you got saved? I was in a condition of condemnation, guilt for my sin, separated from God. There is therefore now no condemnation. I was in a state of condemnation positionally, in a state of judgment conditionally, for my sins that had not been dealt with yet by me before Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you've got to know when the Lord's speaking about position and when he's speaking about experience. Because a lot of people get the phrases and the concepts confused. In John chapter 3, verse 17, the scripture says this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 is the key. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already. Those that believe not in Jesus, have not committed unto Jesus, are in a state of condemnation right now. Eternally. Unless they change. Come to Jesus. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's speaking about a condition. When you believe in Jesus, when those Jews committed to him as Messiah, they were moved from a state of condemnation into a state of not being in condemnation at that point during the ministry of Jesus. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at what the scripture says about your condition. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 is where we'll begin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That was my position before God. And that was my reality here on earth. I was going to die and be separated from God. Because what was I in? I was not in Christ Jesus. I was in my trespasses and sins. When God looked down on me, he saw that I was in my sin. I was in my guilt. I was in my condemnation. Okay? Now look at what it says. Where in time past, what does that sound like? That sounds like Romans 8:1. Now there is no condemnation. But in time past, I walked according to the course of this world. Walking in the flesh, not walking in the spirit. That was my condition. That's Romans 8:1. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is still working in the children of disobedience. I was not in the position of being a child of God. I was in the position of being a child of disobedience. That's what I'm called. Under wrath, under God's wrath. Now, look at what he says. Verse 3c, if you can come down here. Among whom also, I'm skipping all that because I'm trying to tie in these points together. Come down to the "and" after "mine." And it says, "and were by nature the children of wrath." That was my position. I was going to face the wrath of God. I was a child of disobedience. I was a child of wrath. Jennifer, when Oprah gets on there and says, "We're all just God's children. Everybody loves everybody." That's a lie. Okay? It's a bona fide lie. It's a secular humanist lie. And it's propagated all throughout this culture. It is a lie. Same lie when these people say, "I don't see how a loving God can send anybody to hell. You know, I don't see how loving God can send anybody to hell." Well, number one, God does not send anybody to hell. It's a choice. But I want you to understand something. Love is an essential characteristic of God. Everybody agree with that? People want to march down the streets of Nashville this week saying God is love and I'm okay. All right? Let me tell you this. Love is an essential characteristic of God. It's not the only essential characteristic of God. Think about that a minute. They don't want to talk about the other essential characteristics. Okay? Love is an essential characteristic of God. Guess what else is? Perfect righteousness, perfect holiness, perfect purity is also an essential characteristic of God. No sin, absolutely no sin, is an essential characteristic of God. No sin coming into God's presence is an essential characteristic of God. God is a spirit. That is an essential characteristic of God. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. Those are essential characteristics of God. But let's go back to God is love. Essential characteristic. God is perfectly righteous and pure, essential characteristics. So, how do we know in God's eyes what is pure and what is not pure. He has revealed it to us in His Word through the thou shalt nots. He has revealed sin and righteousness through His Word when He tells a man and a woman how we are to conduct ourselves as we go through life. So, yes, God is love, but that's not only His essential characteristic. Let me tell you something else. God is a perfectly righteous judge. That's another essential characteristic. So just go home and write down all the essential characteristics that you can think of that are of God, that make up God. And it's a wonderful thing to just say, oh, God is love, so I can live my life any way I want to live it. That's a lie from the devil. Yes, God is love, and God is totally righteously pure. And when I commit a sin, I have no right to think, because God loves me, I'm okay. No, I am not okay. I need to confess it. I need to repent. And I need to have godly sorrow in my heart. And I need to turn to Jesus. Amen. Every day. And, you know, I'm just talking about me. Several times a day. And so that's the truth, and that's not in the outline. So, all right, here we go. So, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you were children of disobedience and children of wrath. And but now I want you to jump over to verse 13. Look at what it says. But now you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, understand that. Look at what it says. Verse 2, in time past you were a child of disobedience, but now you are in Christ Jesus, and sometime you were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you've been brought into a relationship, your position has changed, and you note, positionally you've changed. You're not a child of wrath or a child of disobedience. You're now a child of God, and you are now in Christ Jesus. Now, go with me to John chapter 5. So understand the positional aspect, which is part of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 5. Verse 24, we see it again. And understand, your position always deals with judgment. Your position deals with the heavenly court in heaven. I'll get to that in a moment. It always deals with judgment. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me possesses everlasting life. And you shall not come into condemnation. You're not going to be condemned. You're not going to be judged. You're not going to face the penalty of your sin. But notice the kicker here. But you have passed from death into life. Whereas before I was dead in my sins, Cameron, now I possess everlasting life. Now, this doesn't mean I'm not going to physically die. If I'm not here when the rapture occurs, I'm going to physically die. This defines death as separation from God. I am never going to be, so my position now is I'll never be separated from God. I have passed from the death, the judgment, the hell of my sins into everlasting life and into the presence of Jesus Christ in the future. But I'm living in that position in heaven's eyes right now. God sees me as being in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. For as the Father hath given life in him, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27 is the kicker. And hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. So when he tells me he's the one with the authority, Dolan, to tell me whether or not I pass from death unto life, whether or not I've escaped the judgment of my sin. And so when you're talking about your position before the God of heaven, you're talking about your position before the judicial court of heaven, and it's all based on the atoning work of God. It deals with where we stand before the God of heaven concerning judgment. I am conscious right now of where I stand before God. The verdict is in. The heavenly court has declared that I am pardoned of my sin based on me receiving and committing to what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And so that's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. I've heard folks say, oh, well, that just means like Christ Jesus being in you, you know, kind of. Look, people, we can't live on kindness. We need to know what the Word of God is saying so we can have clarity and understand. It's but one's experiential. Christ is in me. I'm experiencing it right now. And one is a declaration in heaven concerning my eternal position before God. I am in Christ Jesus. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Everything is based on the atoning, finished, complete work of Christ on the cross and my faith commitment to Him. Now, Colossians 2, I'm going to begin in verse 12. It says this: we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Now, I want to grab the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The charges, the guilt charges of sin that were against us in the judicial court of heaven have been pardoned, forgiven, expunged by me making a commitment to Jesus Christ carrying my sins to the cross. On that cross, He took those charges out of the way between me and God. Once I make a commitment unto Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. I was dead in my sins until I made that commitment unto Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And here we go again with Christ as our judge. But I want to go back to verse 13. It says, you hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I want you to understand, all my sins are forgiven positionally. What does that mean, Brother Luke? I had a guy walk up to me one time a few years back. And he was a Pentecostal preacher. And he asked me if I taught we don't have to ask forgiveness for sin. I said, why are you asking that? He goes, well, remember your church took me to this verse and said, look at there, look at there. He's forgiven us all our sins. We don't have to ask for forgiveness. I said, no. 1 John 1:9 says that we are to confess our sin daily, to seek God's forgiveness, and to seek cleansing by the blood of Christ. I said, that verse speaks positionally. Once I go to the cross, let me tell you something. all my sins are forgiven. And at the end of my life, if there are unconfessed sins in my life, the mercy of God as I pass from this life into the next life, as I go through that purifying fire, all my sins are going to be forgiven. But I want to tell you right now, experientially, if today I go out and I lose my temper with somebody, I need to confess that, because I'm not forgiven until I confess that. And see, this is where people screw up. They tie a positional statement into an experience statement. Say, oh, I don't have to have, look at this, it says right there, all my sins have already been forgiven. And then people come up with contradictions in the Word of God. Why is 1 John 1:9 saying you need to confess when Colossians 2:14 is telling you, or 13, He has forgiven me all my trespasses as I pass from death unto life, based on my position before God in heaven? I still have to confess sin in my daily life. I still get my feet dirty like Peter. But what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter said, wash me thoroughly. Wash my whole body. He said, you've already been washed, but you still need to get your feet washed. Same concept. Same concept. I think a lot of times folks are looking for outs. I don't really understand it. But what I want you to understand is, well, let me show you another one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you know, this one can possibly take in either way, but I want you to understand something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, that's what we're studying. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Again, another judicial word. Not charging us, impugning us, not laying to our judicial eternal account our sins. They are pardoned when we receive what Christ did on the cross, positionally and in reality. I mean, I know I'm forgiven. And then he says this, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I want to make 2 points. Number one, look at what it says, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to understand, all things have not yet become new in my life. There are still some things I'm dealing with. Now, I've experienced a lot of newness. I've experienced a lot of change. This is a promise that more and more things can become new, and I can grow in this, but I feel pretty sure I'm going to die physically one day, and I'm not going to be 100% where I need to be. I don't think anyone's ever been there except the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can say all things are becoming new. But in the eyes of God, when He looks down on me, He sees the newness of me being in Christ Jesus. But notice this, verse 21. For He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I am made, I am declared positionally as possessing, as covered with, as clothed with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you don't have to turn there, because I'm just going to quote this. In Philippians 2:15, Paul says that our testimony, or our witness, we are to shine as lights in a dark and perverse world. Okay, talking about our witness. We're to shine as lights in a dark and perverse world. Now, you know I'm a nature guy. And some of my greatest nights are in the wintertime, when that sky is as dark as it can be, and there is no moon. And those stars and those planets are just putting on a show. And they are just like diamonds of beauty. And there are times I say this to Jesus because, you know, I've felt this a long time. I believe when God looks down from heaven on earth, he sees the darkness of this world under the control of Satan. But when he looks at you, you shine as lights because you're covered. You're not perfect, okay? But you are covered. You have been made, look at what it says, you have been made the righteousness of God in him. You are covered with the light of immortality. You are covered with the light of purity. You are covered with the light of righteousness. So when God looks down upon you, he sees you shining back up as those lights. And I believe this is what being in Christ Jesus is talking about. And I think that's a beautiful concept. You shine as lights in the eyes of the Heavenly Father because you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Now, I'm not going to go on into the inheritance. I'll do that next week, but I want to close out with one point. Here's the basic again. Christ in me is experiential. Me in Christ is position. And I'm going to give you these two verses we've already looked at. When God sees saving faith and commitment in my heart, he sends the Holy Spirit from heaven into my heart. Galatians 4:6. And I believe simultaneously, he declares me righteous positionally in heaven. I am at that point forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future. I am justified, I am pardoned, and I am saved forever. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The righteousness of God has been imputed unto my heart, soul, and spirit, and my judicial record has been expunged of sin and guilt and condemnation. And I believe these two acts occur simultaneously. He sends the Holy Spirit in your heart when he sees saving faith, and he declares you forever righteous in heaven. And I want you to know that when these two things happen, the similarity is both of these things are acts of God. They are two acts of God that occur simultaneously. He sends the Holy Spirit into your heart in a nanosecond, and he declares you righteous in heaven. So it goes back. I can claim two things about myself right now as I close today. Christ Jesus is living in me by the Holy Spirit, and I am in Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and forever, and my eternal, and that's why my citizenship, we'll get into this next week, is already in heaven. That's Philippians. That's why in Hebrews I am a pilgrim here on earth. Because all of this is established. It is settled. It is final verdict. It is over. I am in Christ Jesus because Christ Jesus is in me. And we'll look more at it next week. All right. Praise Jesus.